Have you noticed that if you go to any supermarket these days, the condiment section just seems to go on forever as food processors try to tempt us with an ever larger range of taste blends and ingredients? Well, while fads come and go, some traditional spreads are still finding favour in a range of dishes. Take the humble but fiery horseradish. And in today's Food on Friday, I drop in on the South Australian home of Newman's Horseradish on the edge of Lake Alexandrina. My host is second-generation horseradish producer Brian Meekins.
My dad and his brother bought the business from Fred Newman back in 1947. And when we first bought the company, or when my father did, they changed the label to Meekins, our surname. And they went to Adelaide to the markets and couldn't sell it anywhere. Everybody wanted Newman's red-labelled horseradish. So he went back to Fred Newman and he said, you can use it.
Oh, fantastic. That's what you
and
wanted.
I've got that in writing.
Yeah.
I've still got that original letter written in 1947.
Really?
Yeah.
So horseradish itself, its story starts in what country?
Germany. It's called Meerrettich. And the Meer in German is sea and the Rittich's a radish. So it should have been called sea radish. So a Frenchman doing a German to English translation, got to Mere, called it horse, end of story.
Is that right?
That's what happened.
That's how dumb it is.
That's it. And that's why I always tell people I love it on fish. Everyone eats it on roast beef, but I love it on fillets of fish.
Well, I'm going to call it sea radish from now on. tell me how the sea radish gets its start in a state like South Australia. What are you doing here? You're growing hectares of it here?
Yeah, we've got nearly 10 hectares now.
Right.
We only had about one at Teetra Gully, and we shifted from Teetra Gully to here in 1985. So, yeah.
10 hectares produces how much horseradish or sea radish a year?
Probably around about the 30 tonne.
Gee, that's all right.
Yeah, but it takes us 2 years to go through that 30 tonne. You've always got to have 2 years' supply in the ground, otherwise you'll continually run out.
Right.
So, like, I could show you what we grew last year, and we're still digging now, and I'll show you what we're growing now for next year, so it's not all just 30 tonne in one hit.
No, I understand. No. So where are we now? This is the processing area, is it?
This is the production line. In this corner over here, we've got two machines that... one is a mincer. This is exactly the same as butchers make sausage meat and mincemeat. Horseradish is crushed through that. And it's just crushed raw. It's not cooked or anything. It's just done purely raw. This other machine here is a blender, and we make our own brand of mayonnaise. And then the horseradish is blended to that.
So when you took over Fred Newman's name, having had permission from him to do so, did you also take over recipes?
Yeah, he only had the one product at the time.
Right.
We now make 11, but the recipe is pretty much the same as when we took it over.
Right.
The only difference is that we now add a food stabiliser to it to stop the condensed milk and the vinegar from separating,
mm-hmm.
where years ago it used to separate in the jar. Didn't look all that nice. So that's the only difference, really.
So there's the mincer, there's the blender.
Yes.
And then where do we go from there?
Let's tip from that blender into one of these tubs, up into our bottling machine. There's our hopper. Jars from a pallet onto that turntable. Turntable comes down here. Little conveyor belt. Got two little gates that open and shut. These are air-driven.
Yeah.
And when the jar comes into here, little puff of air tells this machine to do that. Fills it.
You've got two of my favourite things together, horseradish and beetroot.
Yes, that's a traditional Polish dish.
Oh.
They use that on turkey instead of cranberry sauce. And it's a very popular, especially in Western Australia, there's a huge Polish population over there.
Oh.
And we sell into three or four really large Polish butcher shops, and they sell quite a lot of it.
And I've got to say, too, I can smell... Even here in the factory, I can smell the raw horseradish.
Yeah.
This is something I suppose you're used to now.
I can't smell it at all.
No.
Not now. I can when we're making it, but I can't right now.
Right. No, well, it's still pretty pungent to me.
Okay.
Are there different varieties of horseradish or sea radish?
We have two. One is what we call, well, I've been told by an old German man that it was what they call a Bohemian horseradish. It's one I don't particularly like, and we are trying to eliminate it from our paddocks.
Why did you put it in the first place?
It just happened to arrive. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, that's one of those funny stories that all of a sudden you find some. But
what's the problem with it?
It's just when you cut across it, it's got a little brown ring on the edge of the horseradish, and it's got a really unusual, stronger flavour than the normal horseradish. The only good thing about it is probably more tolerant to disease than the other one, but I prefer the flavour of the other variety that we have.
So would you like to just take us outside and perhaps show us some of the paddocks where the horseradish is growing? You got some
okay, yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Now, I'll just show you the raw horseradish that we were cutting up before.
Love to. Brian's opening a container here. Whoa! So Brian's just delved into what is obviously a long-term storage area for keeping it nice and fresh, eh?
Now, the horseradish, as I told you before, we snapped all these lateral roots off. This one's got a half a dozen lateral roots from it. That's generally how it looks.
Right.
So these all have to be broken down and so no dirt is left locked in anywhere.
Oh, I see. So that you can do a straight clean and there's no...
Do a straight clean, yes.
Yeah, right.
This is then put into that little cement truck that's on the back of the tractor there.
Yeah.
We've got holes drilled in the front of the barrel and then we run fresh water in the back end of the barrel as it's rotating. As it rotates, it then throws all the dirty water out.
Brilliant.
And when it gets clean, well, we turn it off. That takes around about an hour and 10 minutes to do a wash.
Not an hour and 10.
That 10 minutes is critical.
So that's basically a sophisticated cement mixer.
That's all it is. Yeah, and that's the second one we've got. The first one we wore out, and this one we're looking after it a little bit better.
What are the peak times of year for people wanting to have horseradish on their table?
It's pretty constant, but we just get that normal big rush pre-Easter, pre-Christmas. But generally, it's fairly constant all year round. It used to be years ago when Dad was doing it, and he was just running a general market garden, it was winter only.
Winter being for what, roast beef?
Yes, that's right. They couldn't. The hot weather, people just weren't eating it. But now with the more immigrants into the country, it's the demand is all year round now.
So you've got these little hotspots like WA where the Polish community want it.
Yes, we have.
And are you competing with imports?
Yes and no. Look, I've spoken to people who have been importing horseradish from Germany and Austria, and they have given up.
So you can compete on price with anything that comes into the country?
Not really on price, but
quality.
Because we're making it every week, it is fresh.
Okay, let's go down and have a look at what it looks like in the paddock. So how much land do you have here?
We've got 65 acres altogether.
And it's not just horseradish you're doing, is it?
No, we've got 25 acres of vines. We grow Shiraz, Cabernet Sauvignon. Yeah, Cabernet and horseradish just made for each other.
Yeah. Oh, gee, you can smell it here.
Now, here we are. This is a typical... This is the way we grow horseradish down here. You don't ever have to replant this patch. This is all just regrowth.
Self-seeding?
Self-seeding. We have to actually go through and with a tiller and knock out what we don't want.
Ah, the smell from these plants. Tell us about the soil, because that looks like pretty damn fine soil to me.
It's very heavy soil. Horseradish loves black clay soils. It does grow in sand, but you'll find where we are restricted here to maybe 10 lateral roots per plant. In sand, you'll get up to 50 or 100.
So why not have sand?
Well, they don't grow. They need very tiny hair-like roots. They don't form into a decent piece of horseradish.
So what you lack on roots, you make up for in bulk.
You do. Yeah. You do, yes.
Right. Okay. How's lack of water from the lakes affecting you?
Very much. Very much. We depend, half of our water comes from the lake, and we haven't had any this year at all. Even though we've got a water allocation, we can't access it. What water's in the lake now is too salty and it's too far out for our pumps to draw the water back in. So we have dredged a couple of times. I'm in a community scheme with 40 other growers and we've just given up on the lake at the moment for this year anyway. But we are putting bore water on the vines. Horseradish doesn't mind the bore water.
Doesn't mind the saline?
No, it's a little bit saline. It doesn't really mind it at all. You just got to be careful when you put it on and how much you put on.
I see that if we gaze out across the crop here, that you've got some yellowing of leaves and some dead leaves. I take it that's just natural attrition, or is that a result of water supply?
It's a bit of both. You can see this yellowing there. That's definitely salt damage. But
well, this crop's up to my kneecap. Is that...
This is as high as you want it to grow.
Right, so this is ready for harvest.
Well, it won't be ready till the leaf dies off. The leaf's got to die totally off.
Ah.
And that doesn't start till about May. Then it's ready. Then it just shoots up a little winter leaf about an inch high. And then it's ready to dig.
Then you know.
Then okay. You know, yeah. And so, if you haven't dug it out before it reshoots in October. It doesn't matter. You can just leave it there and dig it when you want it.
Oh, yeah. How convenient's that?
Yeah, it's not bad.
And it self-seeds.
It's self, yes. Yeah.
Brilliant. In terms of nutrients and amount of water used, is it heavy?
Not really.
Do you pay for the water from the lake? When you can reach it?
Well, only the pumping costs.
Bore water, do you pay for that?
No, pumping costs again, that's all. Yeah. But we are restricted to the amount we're allowed to use. It's all metered. And if you go over that, then you pay heavily.
Well, can we go back and try some of the raw stuff?
We will. Yeah. You just take a slither of that.
Okay, this is a slither.
And you've got to chew it.
Yeah.
You've got to grind it in your teeth.
All right. I'm just grinding a piece of raw horseradish now. And it's exploding. You did this deliberately, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. You made me grind this so I would not be able
to talk
anymore. You bastard. Oh, wow. That is so pungent.
And that's what it's supposed to do, dear. It hits you. Within a minute, it's gone. It's not like chili that hangs around for hours.
No.
It's a whack, gone.
Which is why it's such a great basis for wasabi.
Wasabi is a separate root vegetable, but up until probably the last year, nearly all the world's wasabi had a component of horseradish in it. I believe now the Japanese are now making for the first time a pure wasabi, where before it had something like 38% horseradish in it.
Let's go upstairs and have a look at the products.
One of these hands-on owners, you know, I'd like to work on the production line.
You micromanage, don't you?
Yes, I'm not one of these that likes to sit in the office and play with a computer.
I take it you've inherited that wanting to get your hands dirty from your dad.
I think so.
Okay, so here's some of the things you make.
That's the horseradish and beetroot. Now, here's a horseradish dip. This can be used on anything. We've even got friends telling us they now use this instead of butter or margarine on their bread.
Okay, this is the horseradish dip. Okay, here we go. I'm just eating a piece of raw horseradish, so of course that makes the palate sort of used to it anyway. What you've got going now is you've got that instant recognition of the pungency, but then the aftertaste is sweetened.
Sweetened.
Yeah, what have you done to it?
It's just got a little bit of extra condensed milk in it.
Condensed milk?
Yeah, condensed milk.
And horseradish?
Condensed milk, horseradish, bit of vinegar. There's some raw onion in that as well.
Yeah.
And some whole grain mustard.
Gee, it's nice.
It is a lovely dip. Yeah. And it will keep, you can freeze it. It's not like some dips that you have little blue spots after 12 days, or this one will never do that. It'll keep for months and months.
So, Brian, here we are upstairs in the retail end of your cellar door sales. Tell us some about what your favourite dish is with horseradish. What do you do with horseradish for your family when you sit down and eat?
I like to use it as an hors d'oeuvre. And I fill up the centre of a dried apricot, and it is stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
Some of your just regular run-of-the-mill horseradish?
Yes.
Inside the kernel area of the dried apricot?
Yes, and it's absolutely fantastic. The two just blend together beautifully. Hard to believe.
And you just teaspoon after teaspoon and just dip, and it look really nice too.
Yes, yeah, it is, yeah. A lot of people think it's cottage cheese or something, but get a bit of a shock when it's not.
You got a name for that?
No, I haven't. No, never thought about it. But normally I just use horseradish just as a condiment on a side with any dish. Just, yeah.
You mentioned you love it on seafood. What do you do with it?
Oh, just straight out of the jar on grilled fish is best. And you just put a knife full over the back of the fillet, and it is really stunning.
Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure. Well done on your horseradishing, or should I say from now on, sea radish. And thanks for joining us on Food on Friday.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
That's Brian Meekins, horseradish, or should I say again, sea radish, and wine producer beside South Australia's Lower Lakes. And Brian's Food on Friday recipe is pretty short, sweet and incredibly pungent. A dab of horseradish on a dried apricot for sheer taste bud bliss.